We're going to read together from Ephesians chapter 6, this passage that we've been looking at over these past weeks. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 10 down to verse 20. Let's hear the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely, as I should. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, I ask that those words that we've just read would be true tonight, that the gospel would be fearlessly proclaimed, that your Spirit will speak to hearts tonight, that through your word, Lord, people will hear you and know you and accept you. Lord, be present here tonight with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're looking at the last piece of the physical armor for the Christian, the sword of the Spirit. And we're looking at it from the point of view of the individual, and then next week Alistair will be looking at it from the point of the community. We have watched how each piece has been connected, starting off with the belt of truth, through to tonight when the very sword of the Spirit will hang from that belt. But we're also reminded that the sword of the Spirit is something that we as individual soldiers must take up. So we're going to look at a number of scriptures tonight as we follow through that image that Paul paints of the sword of the Spirit to the image of the sword in Scripture, how it's described, and how we as individuals are to use it. Ephesians 6:17 reminds us that we're to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it's the only piece of armor where we're specifically told what it is. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We've been reminded constantly how Paul is under guard and he is watching this Roman soldier, a Roman soldier. And this stage, he's looking at the sword that the soldier has. And the Romans carried a sword which was called gladius. It was 18 to 24 inches long. It was forged by a blacksmith. It was then dipped in coal dust, giving it a carbon effect and making it so much stronger than what would normally be used. It had then put on it a double-edged blade, which was extremely sharp. And the end of it then was tapered to such an extent that when it was came up against heavy metal that it could actually go through the metal. It was used for close combat, It was used for cutting and for stabbing. And it was known as the sword that conquered the world. But before a Roman soldier would ever get to use it, he was trained on how to use a sword and how to use a shield. He would have been given a wooden sword and a wicker shield. And he would have practiced each day. The sword and the shield would have been heavier than what he would have carried when he got to the real thing. And each day he would have practiced on his own, carrying the shield and how to work with the sword. Until he became proficient enough in it that then they would begin to work in twos. And together then they would work out their combat techniques and their moves. And only when they were proficient in doing that were they actually given a shield and a sword to serve in the army. Paul paints this picture of a soldier ready for battle. He paints a picture wanting you and me to be ready as soldiers for Christ, for whatever situation he's going to take us into. Having each piece of our armor in place and us being ready to fight the battle. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Apostle John also paints a picture of a soldier with a double-edged sword. Only in his picture, it's a divine warrior. I want you to look with me to some of those pictures that the Apostle John paints. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 12. Now tonight there's going to be quite a lot of looking at scripture, and I want to do that purposely for two reasons. One is it explains exactly what John is saying, but the other is I want you to go away and I want you to look at these passages for yourself. I want you to study them for yourself as an individual for what God wants to teach you in and through it. But this is what John writes. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned around, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." Out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. Turn with me then over to Revelation chapter 19. We're going to read from verse 11. This is what John writes. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. These are two incredible pictures that John paints for you and me of the divine warrior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I just want you for a moment just to ponder that. It's a term that Jonathan used last week. It's a term that Mary, do you remember, used. Just ponder it for a moment. In other words, just stop and think about that picture. In military terms, this is our commander in chief. This is the one who leads us. This is the one who goes into battle, having already gone into battle for us, but goes into battle with us. Goes with us in the worst situations that you and I will ever face in our lives. This is someone who does not back down, will not back down. This is someone who is victorious, who has won the battle, who has defeated Satan, who will not be defeated by Satan, who cannot be defeated in your life if you will trust him as your commanding officer and allow him to go before you. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, "These are the words of him who has the double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and fight against you with the sword of my mouth." Jesus will not back down. Our Lord is not taking a backward step at any stage. The Apostle John and the Gospel of John has already made the connection between the Word of God and Jesus being the living Word. John 1 verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." In verse 14 of that same chapter, he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh, living, active. The Word comes, being even sharper than a double-edged sword, being sharper than a gladius, the sword that the Roman soldier carried. The sword that they claimed conquered the world. So that's why in Hebrews 4 and 12, you know that verse? It says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." The word of God, like the sword in Revelation, is described as coming from the mouth of God. It's the very breath of God. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, we're told that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Isaiah, we're told that my word will go out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We're told that this word of God will illuminate the path that we're on. In Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God, living, active. It penetrates. It judges thoughts and attitudes of heart. It's the very breath of God, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training. It will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And it will illuminate what we need to see. There's a lot in that. What are you and I to do with this word of God? Well, Joshua chapter 1 reminds us that we're to obey it. We're to meditate on it. We're to be careful to do everything that's written in it. The psalmist tells us that we're to delight in it. And again reminds us constantly to meditate on it. Paul in this letter to Second Timothy tells it we're to correctly handle it. This word that is so vital to each and every one of us. Angie Smith is a Bible teacher. Some of you may have heard of her. She wrote a series, a study series called Seamless. It was an overall view of the Bible. It was the first study that she had ever written. And in the DVD series that goes along with it, she explains how she didn't go to Sunday school. She didn't grow up in church. But as a young woman, she came to Christ. And so she did what she thought was right. She went into a bookshop. She bought a Bible and she headed off to a Bible study. And be like one of our life groups. And she said the conversation started about the scriptures they were studying. And she hadn't a clue what they were talking about. But she said, I learned very quickly if I just nodded in the right places. I went, uh-huh, yes, mm-hmm. Nobody seemed to realize that I didn't know what I was talking about. And I wonder if we're really honest how many of us have done that in a Bible study. Just not, mm-hmm, yes, mm-hmm. And then she said, I really felt challenged that I didn't know, and I didn't know how I was going to learn. And she said, so what I did was, I went into the bookshop again, and I bought a children's Bible of the simple stories from the Bible. And she says, every day I read those stories. I read them and read them and read them till I got them into my heart. And she said, then I kept going to the other Bible study. And she said, suddenly I found that as I had read those stories, that as these folks started to talk about things, it started to make sense to me. It started to fit together for me. You see, she had been like the Roman soldier. She practiced and practiced and practiced until she started to get the scriptures into her heart. In the life group series, we've done the one where Jim Tsimbala's son-in-law is given the message by his mother when he goes off to military school. And he said what he discovered was when he opened it and read it, it was in language that he understood. It was a start for him to learn scripture. He didn't stick with it. He moved on to use other translations. But it was a paraphrase that helped him begin to practice to learn the word of God. Peter writes, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Paul says that we're to have our armor on, ready for these battles, and the sword of the Spirit in our hands. That we're ready when we need to make these offensive strikes. The Roman soldiers had this military process that they had, that when they were lined up together, they would step forward with their shields and prod forward with a sword. And they would keep moving forward until they advanced into the ground that they needed to do. You and I need to be able to make offensive strikes. We need to hide God's word in our hearts. We need to use that same word of God to root out anything in our lives that shouldn't be there. And believe me, when you read it and study it and ask God to teach you from it, he will reveal to you those things that you need to deal with. We're to use it to strengthen us and to strengthen others. You know, I love it when I've been either reading myself or stuff has come through to me, and maybe within an hour or that, later that day or the next day, I go into a situation and what God has given me either that morning or the day before is exactly the right word of God for the situation I'm going into. We're to make offensive strikes. But the sword was also used for defensive as well, to block things, to deflect the enemy's lies. to deflect the doubts that he fires at us, to stab away at those temptations when they come our way. And you know, Jesus shows us that example in Matthew's gospel. We've looked at that before when we looked at the belt of truth. In chapter 4, where he's been in the desert for 40 days and he's been, Satan has come at him time and time again, and it says he comes out from the 40 days of fasting that Satan comes again, tempting him, misquoting scripture to him, making promises that he couldn't keep. And each time Jesus comes back and says, "It is written." He quoted scripture back at Satan, and Satan leaves him. Just like you and me, Jesus learned the scriptures. Just like you and me, no different. He learned the scriptures. He prayed. He knew the time when to use the scriptures. He knew how to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I love Isaiah 41:10, where it says, "Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." If you and I will take the Word of God seriously, and I mean really seriously, if we will spend time in it, if we'll ask the Spirit to guide us and to teach us, if we'll meditate on it, if we'll store it away in our hearts, then when warfare comes, we will be ready for it. We will be prepared for battle. We will know that we have a divine warrior who fights for us and who fights with us, and one who has already won the victory. We need to store the Word away. So tonight, you and I, we need to take up the sword of the Spirit. We need to take up that sword that conquered the world. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you again for your Word that's living and active. I want to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures tonight. Lord, this powerful image of you, the divine warrior, King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, may you open up your Word to us. Write it on our hearts. Keep us in it. Enable us to meditate on it day by day. And thank you, Lord, that your Word conquered the world. Amen.